Late nights
with Travis. With Travis.
With Travis.
Late nights with Travis
and Lowe's.
So we're recording live late nights.
Live, as if it were.
As if it were.
Yeah, I guess it's live.
Live. I mean, it's live for us, but we're gonna edit it.
I'm in right in front of you, and you're the audience.
Yeah, yeah. Trav is my audience.
It's Sunday night, and this goes live on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which is usually, I mean, that's kind of a tight. I'm scooting around here.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just kind of a tight schedule. Usually we're not. We're like about a week.
Yeah.
Give you a week, but
I have.
You know, it's Thanksgiving this week.
Yeah, I have a day, which is more than plenty because I always leave it for this.
Start Monday editing anyway. On Monday anyway. That's kind of normal.
So it feels normal. So if you're listening, obviously you are because you're here. The last 8 episodes have all been interviews. That is 2 months.
Has it been 8 episodes of interviews?
8 episodes.
Dude, we have been on an episode, interview spree, right?
Yeah, it has been 2 months. And in reality, you haven't heard from the good old Trav and Lowe's.
It's uncommon for us to do interviews.
Yeah.
It's not our main mode.
It is not.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited for the opportunity to get back on the mic and give you a message that I prepared.
This is an old school episode.
Old school.
Yeah.
So,
classic style.
If you're a long time listener, we're
you know
back.
What I'm talking about.
We're back.
What's up, baby?
What's up, baby? What's up, boo? Another one.
Another one.
Another one.
Nice.
All right. So, I'm going to start off this episode, episode 99.
This is 99?
This is 99, so I'm in charge of 99 and 100.
Too real. Wow, 99.
So for the welcome back episode.
Well, how do you feel? I mean, let's just take a spot, take a knee right now. 99 episodes.
99.
Lowe's, how do you feel about your life right now? Is it going exactly the way you planned?
I don't think I saw it this way.
Yeah, 99 episodes ago?
Yeah, 99
what
episodes.
What were we expecting? Just review. What were we expecting when we started this? Why did we do this?
Honestly, we did it to record conversations that we wanted to have.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's how it started.
We wanted to be intentional
about our conversations, and you had a publishing experience with your Dev Tips.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to get into the publishing realm, and so it was kind of
something else.
So, yeah, so it was a good match.
It's good. You've been a great collaborator.
Oh,
99
thank you.
Episodes.
99.
I'm very happy with our relationship, our working relationship.
Yeah.
So that's why we started out. What have we achieved? Let's take a retrospective here.
Man.
What have we achieved with 99?
I think we have both understood more of who we are as people and designers.
Right.
We, I believe, are stronger with our opinions and points of views.
Yes. It's nice to have something on the books.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, well, you know, XYZ. And you're like, actually, I have an opinion about that. Go back and listen to episode 34.
Yeah.
I can tell you an hour's worth of content.
We've made a lot of new friends.
Yes.
And I think the podcast has opened up opportunities that I don't think we would have had.
I agree with that.
Otherwise.
We've met some really great people as a result of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. And I think our friendship has gotten closer. And
we become BFs.
Yeah, yeah.
We were friends.
We were friends.
Now we're best friends.
We're biffs.
We're biffs. MF and BFs. So that's great. Okay, so what's the content for tonight? What's the topic?
So as a welcome back episode, it's been 2 months, really.
It's crazy.
Of a hiatus here. I'm going to tell a story. And this story is a personal one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about something I've experienced lately, and it has to do with professional complacency.
You've been experiencing complacency?
I have.
That's hard to admit on a radio show.
Yeah.
Especially with a lot of your peers listening.
A lot of my peers listening. And
okay.
I think I'm open to talking about it now because mm-hmm. I think I'm on the road back, on the journey back from professional complacency.
Right. Okay. So how would you describe your complacency?
I have a story to tell you.
Oh, right. It's in the form of a story.
It's in the form of a story.
I wrote a poem about it. Roses are red. Get off your ass.
Yeah. Done. You don't want to be complacent anymore? Don't be complacent.
Classic.
Comes out that it doesn't really work as poignantly as I want it to work when you say it that way. Here's my story, though.
All right.
If you're a longtime listener and you know who I am, then you know my story. But to recap and fill you in for any of you that are new listeners, I'm a self-taught designer.
Yep.
I've worked my butt off to get my first job in design and so forth to where I am now. I was a starving, hungry creative.
Mm-hmm.
Not a professional, just a hungry creative wanting to be a professional. That's part of my early journey.
I think a lot of people can, like, you know, empathize with that.
Mm-hmm. I'm currently a senior designer at a company called Atlassian. I'm also a husband, a friend, a father of three, son and brother. I'm also the host of your show tonight. Like you, though, I have many ups and downs, and I try my best to set goals and plans and try to achieve them. But something has been lurking in the shadows of my comfort, this safety of a life that I've actively influenced. Growing in the shadows has been this sense of complacency. I haven't been able to place my finger on why the feeling of fear accompanied this complacency. All I've known is that this is an unsettling feeling, and it has been growing for the last for the last 4 months. Now, I didn't like this fearful feeling. I wanted to fix it, but for some reason, ignoring it felt easier. So that's what I've been doing the last couple of months, ignoring the complacency, or for lack of a better term, professional complacency.
So complacency, in my opinion, correct me if, so I want to talk about the same thing here, mm-hmm. make sure we're on the same page. Mm-hmm. Complacency is when you have lost drive,
mm-hmm.
and you're not hungry anymore. You're just maybe going through the motions or even avoiding work.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the same thing.
Okay.
And I'll go deeper into those feelings and what complacency looks like.
Got it.
Right? A lot of the contributing factors to it, though, has been my life changed from a family of four to a family of five.
Yeah.
Right? Logically, I was ready for it, but emotionally, I wasn't.
Okay.
My wife has been going through some chemical imbalances that have thrown the family for a loop.
Yep.
And so all of that adding to the stress of providing for a family and this kind of cog in a wheel feeling I've had has created this sense of complacency. And you have to understand that after years of building my portfolio and constantly feeding this endless hunger for design, this intern mentality that we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I got hired in a position where I could have considerable impact and influence over the direction of the designs I'm working on. In a sense, I made it, air quotes. However, all that fire and hunger for design I had that got me to where I am now is no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's coming back. What started to happen was that my work started to feel tedious and laborious. So I started to struggle to design simple things, and that fire I once had was now a low, quiet, burning ember. And this is what I say, is that I still turned in work on time, replied to emails and work chat, showed up to all my meetings, but I know I wasn't the designer I used to be. Something happened. At some point, I let my guard down, and I started feeling more like a cog in a wheel than a disruptor in the company, which is what I was hired to do and be.
Yeah.
Disrupt creative thinking, disrupt the way that we're doing, and improve anything that I can influence.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone talks about landing that dream job, how to create awesome projects using new tools and processes. Even we in our first episodes or one of the episodes, we talk about how to get a job and keep it. But there was like 10, 15 points, and 14 of those points were how to get one, and the last one was about how to keep it.
Okay.
Right? And so even us, we don't really talk about how to keep a job.
Right.
Right. And so
this reminds me, I don't even know why, but did you ever watch Breaking Bad?
I did watch Breaking Bad.
There's that one part where Gustavo, the rich guy, mm-hmm. is talking to, what's his name? The bald guy.
What is it?
What was his drug name? Heisenberg.
Heisenberg,
He's talking to Heisenberg, and he's like, so you need to learn how to be rich. Not how to become rich. But you need to learn how to be a rich person.
Yeah.
Because you could be a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
You could become rich and then lose it all.
Yeah.
But to stay rich, to live rich, is a different set of skills.
Yeah.
And that's just what's going through my mind right now, listening to you talk.
There's a different skill to keeping a job.
Right. Yeah.
To being rich.
That hunger, that drive, that ambition is not what makes you continue to be strong.
That's right. So I kind of went through this, okay. Right? I also think the fear I had was this underlying feeling that I could lose my job if I kept going this way.
Uh-huh.
Right? I needed help and didn't have the cojones to ask for it.
I don't know Spanish, but I know what you're talking about.
I didn't have the, I guess, confidence to go ask for help.
Okay.
Or the fear of asking for help was easier to ignore.
Uh-huh.
Luckily, my direct manager had set up a one-on-one with me, right? And this one-on-one was to just review work, what I've been working on, etc. And before our meeting, I prepped with this work that we needed to review. And then I also prepped this long story that I asked if I could read to her. And it was me blogging personally about what I've been going through lately.
Mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. and the type of help that I need and what I perceive my peers perception of me to be now and what my perception of myself is. And so I spilled all the beans and talked about what I've been going through, both emotionally, mentally, physically, intellectually, with my family, etc. It was more like a State of the Union, but for Carlos. So we had that meeting, right?
Yeah.
In a sense, talking about it and giving the opportunity or a platform for me to take it as a way to ask for help or kind of talk about what's been happening and lean on my team, lean on my manager, someone who can help me
mm-hmm.
and help get the best out of me because mm-hmm. that's what I want, right? It helped me get back on track and out of this misery that I now call professional complacency, which I don't wish upon any creative professional or anyone really, came kind of like this way back.
Right, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But what happened, it needed to be a conversation needed to be had. I needed to confront it, and I was mm-hmm. I was afraid to confront
mm-hmm.
what was happening, what mm-hmm. was just living beneath, right? So she challenged me with an aggressive deadline for a project, and although I knew what I had to do creatively, I had lingering feelings of doubt still, right? I was still cautious to open up my sketchbook and start sketching. I was just hesitant.
Okay.
Right? So I started sketching some ideas eventually. Mm-hmm. Right? She said, don't touch software. Like, sketch your ideas. Right? And I had to come up with 3 solid ideas. And I got through my first sketch and then started to struggle again with the next 2. And this is just struggling to get sketches out.
Yeah, sketches.
Sketches, right?
Sketches.
Even
that's the point of sketches.
Yeah. But even...
You don't have to struggle. It's just a sketch.
No, it's just a sketch,
it's
right?
just a sketch.
But even through this exercise, I was asked to present my ideas at a 20-person creative review. And this creative review is one where you present what you're working on, no matter what stage of the project uh-huh. you are on. And I only had sketches and shells of ideas.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Luckily, I had done my homework to understand the problem space, and I received some great feedback for the direction I was taking. So this is kind of like a small win. It's finally a small win to beat down this feeling of doubt that came from
because
complacency.
You go into that room and you talk to these people, and you realize that they're in your corner.
They are in your.
They're
corner.
Not judging you. They're right. not like waiting for you to fail. Like they're like, whoa, Carlos, we like this is a good idea. How might we, you know, like
yeah.
yes and
yep.
and like you walk out of the room, you've been yes anded.
Yep.
You've got a lot more fuel in the fire.
A lot more fuel. Yeah. A lot more fuel. I think I talk about it later, but what ended up happening is I started to rely on Carlos and stopped relying on the design process and design thinking. So there's something.
What?
Yeah.
This is interesting.
So
who's Carlos?
Yeah. So I don't know what happened or at what point I just thought, I don't even know. Like
what? IDKAF.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, IDGAF. IDGAF, and then you just do it.
IDGAF. Yeah.
IDGAF. That's your new slogan.
Yeah, so something happened and I think I talk about it later. So I got through the sketches, right? And the next step was to turn my sketches into something of substance, a wireframe or visual design.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing about this feeling of complacency is that it causes you to doubt yourself. Like, am I even good at design anymore?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of that happening.
I mean, I know that.
Yeah.
I know that feel.
Yeah. So again, I found myself hesitating while I opened up some software and started to turn my sketches into something real. One thing that happened from all of this is that I stopped relying, this is what I said, on the creative process. the tried and tested design thinking process that I've spent so much time talking about and teaching to others, talking about on this podcast. I started to rely on my own self and forgot about everything I knew. And I really, to a point, just felt lost creatively. If you're listening to this point, at least one thing you can learn is, like, don't forget about the design process if you're ever stuck.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I mean, yeah, that's the whole idea. Like, we have, through experience and through, like, collective knowledge and experimentation, come up with a set of principles, you know, and we call it design thinking. It's right. A process.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you, like, lean into it, the idea is that those worries and those stresses and that fear, that paralyzing fear, is not a part of the process.
Yeah.
And you know, it will guide you to your next step.
Yeah.
You know, first step, do some research.
Yeah.
There's no fear in that. Just go do some research.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next step, sketch an idea. It's just a sketch.
Yeah. And one thing that was happening is I was getting stuck in the research. I think I was spending too much time researching and spinning my wheels and not getting started on the next step. If you're in a rut, and I think, which is what I was in, a creative rut as well.
Yeah.
Is to time box yourself to go through the process.
I mean, I think here's what I'm hearing as well, is that you have a set of expectations set for yourself, and you're like, I'm Carlos the magician, and if I do this process and there's no, like, white dove in my hand at the end fluttering off, no sparkle of magic, no flame, is this your card? Like, then I'm a failure.
Yeah.
And everybody will know it.
Yeah.
And that's the fear that you have. But I think when you have that expectation on you, what you forget is that that's not actually what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
The outcome is supposed to be a really bad idea.
Yeah.
And celebrate that.
Yeah.
And celebrate a second bad idea.
Yeah.
Because we have no limit on bad ideas.
Yeah.
And you do 10, you do 20 bad ideas, and eventually somebody goes, well, that was a bad idea, but it makes me think of this.
Yeah.
And then you can explore a new river.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Look, like what you're describing, the experience that you're going through is real.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I love that you're, like, giving a voice to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm ready to hear more.
But, yeah. So
like,
we
don't feel bad about it. Like,
yeah.
Don't be scared about the feelings. Don't be scared about the experience or like, be worried that people who are listening to this podcast will lose respect for you.
Sure. Sure.
Carlos is no longer a magician. You know, like,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you are a magician and you're not.
Yeah. And I'm human.
At the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my manager, she grounded me by helping me define some creative constraints.
Uh-huh.
And I started to rely on the process again, right? And was able to get a visual design concept to her before the Thanksgiving holiday. Because of meetings, I got a late start, but finished it before midnight, and the deadline was Wednesday, and I was gonna make it.
Nailed it.
I nailed it, right? So I got
the deadline is magic.
Deadline is magic, and
an outcome
of
so our, Carlos is not the magician.
The deadline's the magician. So part of our conversation, we had like a 3-hour one-on-one.
Uh-huh. That's a long one.
It is a long one, and part of that was, you know, what can I do to help you? And two things came out of it: help me define the task.
Yeah.
And give me a deadline.
Okay.
Hold me to a deadline.
That's cool. Right?
And so that's kind of like how I've been getting out of it, right? So for the longest time, I wasn't feeling proud of any of the work I was creating, and that was having a large effect on me and my peers.
Yes.
You see, complacency affects everyone, not only you.
Hmm.
And I want to talk about the effects it had on my team and effects that it has in general.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because complacency is dangerous, not only for yourself and the fear of, am I going to have a job because I'm sucking and not doing the level of work that I should be doing, right? But at the same time, complacency does affect your team, your peers, those around you.
Right, because they're not going to feel the fire.
Right. So my job is to, as a designer, and the role that I have, is to help give others the vision of how things could be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because of my complacency and not delivering the things that could be, developers may be late with delivering their code, right? Because if they're not
Oh, I see. Yeah.
If they're not getting a vision or direction or design, then it slows down their time to code it.
Right.
Now, what happens to that? Product managers have to compensate the late designs and code and extend deadlines. Now, this affects senior management, and because I haven't been proud of my work and not doing my best as a company, we may end up delivering a lackluster product to the market, to our customer. Customers are disappointed, the department suffers because of this, and this shiz of complacency just continues to roll uphill. You see, designers becoming complacent doesn't only risk our jobs or even affect the quality of the product from our immediate perspectives, but it affects everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It affects those that are looking up to you. If you're in a senior position, the junior designers or the newcomers or new to the company, you're not the A player that they need you to be. That they're also A players.
Right.
Right.
There's like this whole morale kind of like question that happens.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Are they excited to work with you? Like, are you guys coming in excited in the morning? Are
yeah.
you on fire? Or
are you excited about what you're doing and yeah. then doing the best work? So I've been able to deliver on time something that I'm proud of. And that's a great feeling that is subduing this feeling of complacency and doubt. The feeling I had early on in my career is appearing again, and that's good because I was tired of not feeling it.
Yeah.
That hunger, that drive.
Isn't it cool how just like one quick win will kind of just like be like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's what winning feels
yeah,
like.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm on the road back to this hungry creative I know exists, and I know that at the end of this creative journey, there will be some disruptive, innovative ideas to be had, some dubs, some white dubs. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you see, this needs to happen and I need to make it back, because if I don't, there is the real pressure of my teammates, needed A players, and the real fear of these four mouths at home other than mine that I am responsible for.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Totally. Right?
So I need to return. I need to make it back.
Yeah.
Right? So what have I learned that I can leave with you here, listener?
I'm listening.
You're listening.
Yeah.
Right. If you start to feel complacent, bored, or have had the same design file open for over an hour with little progress, which has happened to me a lot over the last few weeks.
Okay.
Talk to your team and see if you can help them. I'm sure they could use the help. See if you can have a sketching session and get your creative juices rolling again on a different project.
Yeah. You know what we've been starting to do? I'm on a team. There's like maybe eight of us right now.
Mm-hmm.
And every last Thursday of the month, we've all been right. doing sprints together on everybody jump on one person's project.
Wow.
And just for like, you know, 5 hours, just try to work out a new idea.
Yeah.
A new concepts, like do some research for them. And then you as a participant are invigorated because like you get to try something else, you get to stretch mm-hmm. the, you get to feel like there's no pressure because
yeah.
it's not your product, yeah. you know, it's not your project.
Yeah.
But, and then the person whose project it is, they just get a ton of mind strength
yeah.
for those 5 hours. Like a ton of work gets done and yeah. it's like good for everyone, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's great. There's something that we started doing and we call it Hack the Brand.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And it's not my project, you know, and not many of the team's projects, but we all influence the brand
yeah.
of Atlassian, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's like the core concept of, you know, a hackathon is like that.
Yeah.
Everybody get together on something, see what comes out, and then everybody back to their own work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they've been nice because you get to get off of what you're doing and think creatively on someone else's project, the bigger project.
Yeah, right? It's really good.
To what you said. And that coupled with all of these like other things that have been happening have been reinvigorating
uh-huh.
my idea of what does design mean to me now in my life right now than, because it's completely different to what it was when I first started.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And how do you maintain that love that you got into the industry for? How do you maintain that throughout your career? And I think it evolves over time.
Yeah, it really does.
And so that's something that I've been going through is this fleeting question that I've had is, what does design mean to me? I don't even know while I was going through this, you know, doubt and complacency and fear. Uh-huh. I didn't know what, I knew that it was how I paid for food, right? But I didn't know what it meant to me. Like
yeah.
As cheesy as it may sound, like I wasn't waking up thinking, I'm a designer. What am I doing with my life?
You need that.
Yeah, you need that.
There's this one kind of like, I don't know if it's a quote or a story, but yeah, Steve Jobs was saying that, like, you know, every day you wake up and you go do your thing, and it's important to be excited about it. And if you wake up too many days in a row and you're not excited about it, then something needs to change.
Yeah.
You know, not saying you need a new job or you need a new career.
Like,
you just need to make a change somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to get excited about it again.
Yeah.
And it's your responsibility. Your employer is not responsible for your enthusiasm.
No.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, your employer is not responsible for your design health.
Yeah. It's not.
No.
It's not. It's up to you, right? And so that's what we're talking about. The first one is to creatively get stimulated on a separate project within the company.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good idea.
The second one is talk to your boss early. Let them know what you're feeling and going through, and let them know that you don't want to let the team down, and see if they can help you define some constraints on your project so you can be set up for success, or maybe get another mind or a sparring session to get you out of that little rump.
I'm sure that was difficult for you to bring it up in that meeting. You could have had just a one-on-one that just went normally and
yeah,
went back to your desk.
Yeah. At the top of this episode, he asked, what's one of the things that is the outcome of a podcast of 99 episodes?
Uh-huh.
And one of them is I can articulate my feelings better.
Oh, there you go.
And be more introspective.
Oh, yeah.
And be okay with talking about that.
Right.
Right. And so when we had the meeting, I prepped the meeting like I prep a podcast.
Yeah. Bulleted list.
Yeah. And then I said, can I present something to you?
Yeah.
And I presented.
And then I set up the microphones.
No. My headphones on. And then we had a conversation, but it was a message of introspection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of my point in my career and where I am at Atlassian. And if you come at it that way, it was extremely helpful. And what was great about it is that I think she had this as a topic of conversation.
Oh, she's going to talk with you anyway?
Going into the one-on-one.
Oh, okay.
And so I think she was grateful that, you know, I was receptive to constructive feedback and receptive to help.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So if you're going through something,
let me just interrupt you. I mean, just to underline that a little bit more, like, put yourself in the place of a manager.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather your subordinate, unbeknownst to you, be struggling with doubt and fear and complacency? Or would you rather them say to you, hey, I'm having a problem and I need some help?
Yeah.
Now you can be a manager and you can do what you're supposed to be doing. Like, you're not able to do your job unless the people that you work with are being honest with you.
Yeah. And on that, I know that if I had asked for help earlier in defining the task and expectations better, I would have likely not gotten as deep into this complacency that I did.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is find something to challenge you. Likely you're complacent or bored because you've started to feel like a cog in a wheel. Work on something you love outside of work so it can help you rekindle your love for design.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be graphic design, just something creative to light that fire of why you're creative, why you're passionate about making things.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
It just happens that your day-to-day tool is digital art, digital creation. That doesn't mean that the fire is separate from, you know, pottery or a mural or calligraphy.
I've done calligraphy, painting. I've done woodworking just to get a new. I mean, like, you could be like, oh, just to get a new perspective on something. Like, you see where I was going, but like it's even more basic than that. It's like just to move your hands in a different way.
Yeah,
and still feel like you're creating something meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, what got me out of this complacency was threefold. Number one, I finally asked for help.
Yep.
Number two, I thought about those counting on me to succeed. Some may not have those pressures that I have, but that's a real thing, right?
Yeah, that's super valid.
And number three, I realized that if I'm going to make anything, why make anything less than great? I'm a designer and a creator. A title with great influence, why give the world mediocre work and mediocre influence? Everyone deserves the best me, so why move forward through life not giving your best self to the world? Anyway, so that's what you all get from me from now on, is my best me.
I really like that. I really like that last one. Like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Why do you even put the effort into it if you're not going to do the thing that makes you happy? Like, yeah. why are you here in the first place?
Yeah.
Just do your best.
Do your best.
Are you going to, like, do your worst?
No. Is that, you know?
Are you trying to do your worst? Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't even go through the motions, right? Like, do your best. That's what the world really deserves from everyone here, and there's not too many people doing that.
Yeah.
Consistently.
You're going to be happier if you just do your best.
Yeah.
Even if it takes longer, even if you fail, yeah. even if nobody likes it, you're going to be happier doing your best and failing than hiding behind small successes
yeah.
and not really even putting, you know, yourself into it.
Mm-hmm. Which is where I was.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to go through. And I think if you're listening, of course you're listening to this podcast, but as you're listening, I think if you haven't gone through this, you may experience a portion of it, or you may have experienced it already, or you know someone that is, or if you're a manager or you have influence over someone younger than you in the career, be aware of it. I think you can help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's been another late night with Trav and Los.
It certainly has. Thanks for listening, guys. If you guys want to contact us, you can do so on Twitter. We have a Twitter handle called Trav and Los. And we have an email account at Gmail, so it's travandlos@gmail.com. And sometimes people email us questions, or they even will send us audio files, and we get to play that audio file on the air and respond to it as if you're a third host here on the show. And we have a website, travandlos.com, and a few other kind of, you know,
you can find
social
us.
Whatevers. But we also really like to read reviews whenever somebody goes to iTunes and searches for our podcast and leaves a review. Los, do we have any of those?
We have a review.
Oh, yeah.
It is, what number is this? Number 63? I don't know. It was left on November 15th by Eden Chen. It's titled Love This Podcast. And here's a plug. Check out Shea Lewis. Always wanted to hear a podcast about Shea going through puberty. Thanks for opening up such an amazing discussion.
That's been a dream of mine for a long time to talk about Shea going through puberty.
Yeah, those are the last two episodes. Catch them. And thank you for listening. We will get you next week with episode 100.
Oh, man, the centennial.
The centennial.
Does the centennial mean 100?
Maybe.
Let's pretend centennial means 100.
Yeah, Shaboy.
Oh, man, the centennial.
Oh, the centennial. Daniel, your boy is coming at ya.
Jolene, and I can can easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Decide to do.